So even though we all learn Masechet Sukkah, we bumped into a sugya last week that is a fascinating sugya in terms of halacha lemaisa, in terms of almost like a general approach to halacha, which has its roots in the Mishnah Masechet Sukkah. So we took a little bit of a turn away from the actual Mishnah, the Gemara itself, to discuss the issue of Chadash and Yashan, the Torah prohibition of Chadash, and where, when, how, what, how does it play out for us with Manazeh. We mentioned last week that there are really three different approaches when we talk about how to explain away the seeming discrepancy. On one hand, the pasuk of Chumash that says you're not allowed to eat new grain. On the other hand, 95% of the Klal Yisrael are eating raisin bran and macaroni and cookies and cakes and some of that is that got lost in the shuffle. The question is, how do you explain that phenomenon? So there were three different approaches to Gedalia Pesach. So the first two are fairly simple. Not because something as simple is necessarily correct, but fairly simple. And that is to say that for real halachic reasons, the Yisur Chodesh basically doesn't speak to us today. Either because the grain is growing in Chutz Loretz, so Chodesh is a non-entity in Chutz Loretz, at least in Torah, and quite probably even with the Rabbanan in most places in Chutz Loretz. That was one approach that some Rishonim took. The second approach was to say, well, it's grown by non-Jewish farmers, and therefore it's completely irrelevant. And either one of those two reasons would clear the air in terms of a chadash. And there were gedayle paiskim who invoked one or both of these svaras and basically ended the conversation right then and there. However, the Shulchan Aruch clearly did not go down either of these two routes. Shulchan Aruch is very, very clear that the Yisur Chadash applies to the Torah, both Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Loretz. And it's equally clear, the Vilna Gaon was for sure very, very adamant that the hetta, so to speak, of Tvuas Akov is non-existent. And even the Ramah, who speaks first and foremost of the Ashkenazim, was not really a big fan of either those two Aterim. That wasn't really the route the Ramah took. The Ramah took a very, very different route in terms of coming to the same conclusion almost. And what the Ramah said is that, okay, let's play devil's advocate. So Chodesh applies. It applies with Aterim. Chod starts. Goyim, it applies with Aterim. But it only applies if it's Chodesh. If it's not Chodesh, then obviously it's okay. How do you know whether it's Chodesh or not? I go to a marketplace in Krakow. I have no idea whether it's Chodesh or not. It says the Ramah, I can't just say, well, I don't know, because suffering their eyes would be with Chumrah. What I can say is that I have a Sfeik's Sfeika. What's the Sfeik's Sfeika? That maybe it came from last year's grain. Grain that grew back a year ago, 2 years, 5 years ago. It's from 20 years ago's grain. It's not even in the ballpark of this year's grain. So that would be a Tzad L'Hakol, but I don't know. And even in terms of alignment, that it's this year's grain, not all of this year's grain is problematic, because only grain that took root after this past second day of Pesach is called Chodesh. Anything that took root before that is technically called Yashon. So even if it's quote unquote this year's Tovshin Pe'al's grain, it's very possible that halachically it's still permissible if, as the Mishnah says, the Menachos had experienced Hashrasha prior to the day of the Korban Omer. Now, in case you're interested in the agriculture as to how long Hashrasha takes, so even that's not an absolute open, clarity on that. There are some posts who put it anywhere with 3 days, anywhere with 2 weeks or something, and different shittas in the Gemara and Mishnah, the whole tumult as to exactly how long that Hashrasha, which may actually make all the difference in the world. But this is the approach of the Ramah. So basically, the way the Ramah leaves it for us is, if you have a cookie in front of you and you really know that it's Chodesh, you shouldn't eat it, says the Ramah. If you have a cookie in front of you and you're not sure whether it's Chodesh, so then you have much, much more grounds to be not here. And that's, again, the famous head to the Ramah called Sfeik's Sfeika. So if you go back for a moment, those who have the Shulchan Aruch on their phone from last time. Wait, for some reason, I only have half of it on my phone. Hold on. 1 second. I don't know why I only have half. Was that Mar Malkum sent again? Henry, was that Shulchan Aruch sent the second time?
Yeah, I sent both and I'm on the phone.
I don't know why this somehow it's being blocked by my hold on, let me see if I can get it back to another one. Hold on.
Do you want me to send it back?
I got it on this page. Okay, fine. Okay.
Want me to send it again?
I found it. Okay.
Okay.
So the Ramah, if you take a look at the Ramah, Enoch is Chadosh, those whose eyes at 10 o'clock at night could still read Ramah's in Uchus Chodesh. So the Ramah tells us in the end of Sif Gimel, he tells us that Mikomachum, let's read the Ramah again. Mikomachum, Sif Gimel in the Ramah. All tvua that you don't know otherwise, everything's mutter. Why? Maybe it's last year's. Maybe it experienced Ashrasha, it took root already from before the Omer. Then the Ramah said that, by the way, what if you know for certain otherwise? So we take a look. The Ramah at the end of Sif Gimel starts to talk about things that we have strong reason to believe are chadash. In the first case, he's talking about things we don't know one way or the other. Now he begins to talk about things that we are comfortable to say are most probably are chadash. People who are eating these kinds of grains, or they're drinking beer from these kinds of barleys, and it's very, very hard for them to refrain, says the Ramah, don't talk about it. Says the Ramah, we apply a principle of, well, you're afraid no one's going to listen to you anyway, better, sometimes it's better not to say. So I stayed in the Ramah. So the Ramah kind of left us that if I want to know...
Is that a halachic basis in general? Shame.
Yeah, well, there is such a cloud, mutav shiyu shayigin, it's something that's not explicit in the Chumash itself, and there's a lot of confusion about, and the people really are shayigeg, and no one's going to listen anyway. So there is a Gemara in Yuma that says that sometimes you do say mutav shiyu shayigin. It's better not to tell people. There are guidelines as to when we do and don't say that. So you really get the impression with the Ramah that he's almost taking two different approaches to Chodesh. He's taking a very lenient approach to the Safek Chodesh, by invoking the principle of Sfeik Sfeika, and he's taking, in theory, a much more Chomer approach to Vatai Chodesh. He's just telling you, you can't make a tumor, you can't make a fuss about it, but if you want to know what should you be doing, if it's Vatai Chodesh, the Ramah sounds like you really should not be eating it, even Chutzlars, even if it's from Goyim. But again, the Ramah is hanging, all our bets are on the Sfeik Sfeika of the Ramah. So we have to really take a step back and understand a few things about the Sfeik Sfeika, but this Sfeik Sfeika is critical. We have to understand it from a halachic point of view about what a Sfeik Sfeika is and is not, and does this statement of the Ramah even meet the criteria of Sfeik Sfeika? And then number two, we have to hopefully analyze it from a Metzias point of view. Is the Sfeik Sfeika really true? Was it true in the olden days? Is it true today? What are the facts on the ground? No pun intended on the facts of the stuff coming out of the ground. Can a person really truly walk into a store today and buy a cookie and say, I'm relying on a Sfeik Sfeika? So we have a little bit of work to do in terms of understanding the lomdus, the amkus of this heter, the Ramah, because again, unless you want to go down the first two routes, if you want to go down the route, it's chutz laretz and leave me alone, it's goyim and leave me alone. If you want to go down those two routes, then it's late already, it's 9:41, everyone can go to sleep, the show's over. But we just started. So we have to give a little bit of credibility to this Ramah. So before we can discuss the intricacies of this particular Sfeik Sfeika, we have to familiarize ourselves with this basic Torah principle called Sfeik Sfeika, because you can't discuss the details of any given Sfeik Sfeika until you understand what a Sfeik Sfeika is all about. So let's take a look at the Gemara in Maseches Ksubos, which is really the primary source of the entire institution of Hilchos Sfeik Sfeikas, and be able to begin to try to extrapolate from this Gemara in Ksubos to this Sfeik Sfeika of the Ramah. So the Gemara begins in Ksubos on Daf Ches Amud Beis, the very bottom of Ches Amud Beis, literally the last three words of Ches Amud Beis. Did I get the right glasses on for this? Okay. So comes the bottom of Ches Amud Beis, the last three lines, Amar Rav Elazar. The sugya sounds like it has absolutely nothing to do with Chodesh. Hang in there, it has everything to do with Chodesh. First, let's familiarize ourselves with the sugya. A fellow walks into Beis Din the morning after he got married. And he goes up to the Dayanim and he says, my wife is not a Besula. She was the Besula. I thought that she had never been together with another man. I'm telling you. Pesach Pasuch Matzasi literally means I found it. Open it, it was open. She has not a Besulim, she's not a Besulim. Now, what are the ramifications of that statement? Well, actually, in today's world, the ramifications of that statement would not be so terrible, because it would throw into question whether the ksuba was written properly. It may potentially throw into question was a little bit of mekach tos here. It would throw into question perhaps the honesty of the relationship. I mean, there would be some issues that would have to be sorted out, but they wouldn't necessarily be catastrophic. In the days of Chazal, that statement was potentially catastrophic for the following reason. Let's not forget, in the olden days, there was a break between the time of Kedushin and the time of Nisuin. At the time of Kedushin, when the woman received the kesef of Ishtar, so she was an Eishes Ish, she becomes an Eishes Ish. And if she's Mezana with somebody else, she becomes a Surah Labayla. Now, there's a whole window of time when she's not living in the husband's house. So now, let's say they had Kedushin, you know, last June, and now they're having Nisuin this coming June. So it's possible that that terrible moment of Znus that she had, assuming that he believes to make such a statement, if she had Znus with somebody in that interim, that window, she just became an Eishes Ish Zinzat Tachas Bayla, which just asks to her husband, the older boy. So by walking into Beis Din and making that incriminating statement, Pesach Asur Patsasi, he may very well be saying, in effect, my wife is Asur to me. Because if he would say with certainty, this woman was Mezana after Kedusha before Nisuin, that's tantamount to saying she's Asur to him. So that's not exactly what he said. He doesn't even know when she was Mezana. He's just walked away and saying, I'm telling you she was Mezana. So he must also be saying, oh, this is Mitzasi, Neman the Osra love. So the simple reading of Rabbi Elazar is, by making that statement, that is translates to mean that they have to get divorced. It's got to give her get right away. Because they can never live together, because she's an Eishes Ish Zinzat L'fi Devarav. How is he Neman, even altogether? He's only an Eilechad, he's a Baldover. How is he Neman? The answer is he's not really Neman, but there's a principle called Shavya Nafshe Chetichat Yisura. If I walk at the Beis Din and I say something that is incriminating against me, even though I'm not quote-unquote believed at the Beis Din, I have to act based on what I just said. So let's say, for example, let's say a woman would walk at the Beis Din. We thought she was single all along. A 20-year-old girl walks at the Beis Din. We had no reason to believe she's an Eishes Ish. And she walks and says, guess what? I'm an Eishes Ish. And then 5 minutes she says, I was just joking. She's in big trouble. Because when she said she's an Eishes Ish, even though we don't really believe her, because ain't dover should be ever pochas mishnai, we need to aid them to ascertain that a woman's an Eishes Ish, but lefi dvarah, she's nemenis. So we have to treat her like an Eishes Ish. And we are not allowed to be mitzvah kedushah for her. We have to force her to receive a get. So even though, truthfully, she may be lying through her teeth, but we have no choice. Shavya nafshe chetichat yisura. So if this man is neman to say his wife was mezana tachtav, if he would have said that statement, my wife, I'm telling my wife, was not a tachtai, so then, shavi nafsh chetich b'isura, and he has to divorce her.
But Rabbi, how's he saying she's mezana? We believe him that she's not a basula.
That's exactly what we're getting to. That's exactly what we're getting to. So we're believing, we're not really believing him. That's how I'd say believing in quotation marks. We're not really believing in anything. He's an eid echad, he's really out the window. But anything that's relevant to his own religious practices, he's neman. Shavya Nav, Sheikh Tikhli Surah, he has created a problem for himself. So he's believed to say she's Pesach Pasuah, but Henry says correctly, but just saying Pesach Pasuah doesn't mean necessarily she's a Surah. It could be, maybe she was Mazan before the Kedushin, we don't know. So the Gemara asks the very question, V'yaman. So the second line in Testament Aleph, am I sphinx fakely? This is the most basic place in Shastri. Gemara uses the phrase in other places, which may mean something slightly different. This is the most classic application of the principle of fake that exists in all of Shas. Yes, the Gemara and Rabbi Elazar, what do you mean she's a surah? You don't even have a statement of the husband that she's an Eishishizitza. Because ultimately his statement only created not even one doubt, but a two doubts. It created double doubts, a fake. What's a fake? Safik tachtav, safik ein tachtav. V'yimtum tzalama tachtav, safik v'ein safik v'ratzu. We don't know whether this nus occurred under him, namely after the Kedushin, when she was married to him. Or maybe this nus preceded the Kedushin. This nus preceded the Kedushin has zero impact on her Isla Baila. It may impact her Ksuba, but that's not the topic. So something number one is maybe she was Tachta, maybe Yedda Tachta. Vimtim Zalami Tachta. And even if this nus happened while she was under him, something Biyana, something Baratsin, maybe she was forced. Maybe she was attacked, maybe she was raped. If that's the case, so she's an Eishes Ish Nensa. Eishes Ish Nensa is Muteres Tobaila. So when all the dust settles, the Gemara says, even his statement is not as incriminating as we thought it was. We may quote unquote believe him vis-a-vis himself, but those are the facts that she's not a Basula, but that not being a Basula per se doesn't translate to mean that she's Asura to him because they have a sfeik-sfeika working in their favor. So that's the part of the Gemara that we need for now. What do you see from this Gemara? That sfeik-sfeika exists in Allah. And the Gemara is going to revamp Rabbi Elazar and reformulate Rabbi Elazar, repackage Rabbi Elazar, but sfeik-sfeika is a map there, even though we're dealing with the potential derives. As Yishya Zinzer Tachas Baras Asura Labayla Min HaTorah, sfeik-sfeika is a map that a love of derives. So before we get into how in the world this is going to impact, because it's going to have a significant impact on Chadash, how does it work? Where does it come from? The Gemara says it with such a milsa de pshita, with such confidence. Ramai speaks vaguely. The Gemara never challenges and says, how do I know it's true? So there's a major, major machlekes rishonim as to what is the rationale for this principle. The fact that the principle exists is a Gemara. Why does it exist is up for grabs.
And is it complicated because it's an Issur d'oraisa and Sfeik d'oraisa l'chumra?
That's exactly right. If it would be an Issur d'rabbana, we wouldn't even need Sfeik d'oraisa. We would just say Sfeik d'oraisa kulon kulon a day. So it's dafka because we're dealing with the d'oraisa that we have to come on to Sfeik d'oraisa and now we have to scratch our heads and figure out, well, how's it work?
No, meaning that, so how does the Gemara explain, so it's like a retroactive Heter, when is this fake? Because
it's not retroactive. No, it's we have this woman in front of us right now, and we're trying to figure out, are this couple permitted to remain together or not? The answer is, if we had Ruach HaKedesh and we knew that she was an Eish Azish B'Ratzom Tachtav, the answer would be no. If we had Ruach HaKedesh and we knew that she was an Eish Azish Nensa, or she was an Eish Azish Zinsa Shalot Tachtav before the Kedushin, then we would say with full confidence she's Muteres to her husband.
No, what I'm saying is...
The problem is, we don't know.
But no, what I'm saying is, when you take each Sefek L'chud, it's Sefek D'Raisa L'chumra.
Right.
But only when you layer it, it then becomes retroactive. So it's really... Well, the first Sefek is D'Raisa L'chumra. The second Sefek by itself is Sefek D'Raisa L'chumra. It's only when you combine them, it sort of like becomes a retroactive head there.
So the question is, so how does that work? There's a general, I'm not such a great math person, but I always like to give this example in sheer math. I said 0 + 0 = 0, doesn't equal 1. So if one suffix is usur, it's usur. The other suffix is usur, it's usur. How do two svekas, each one independently paskin usur, how do they add up together to make it mutter? That's exactly my question. That's exactly
my minus minus is plus.
Yeah, that's in a little bit of a different little bit of a different world.
Yeah, and by this will come later.
No, so it's a second suffix that negates even this fake at the beginning of the first fake.
But okay, so that's exactly what we have to try to figure out. We have to try to figure out how does this work? That's the basic question. So there are two very, very different ways of understanding the mechanics of space. One is in the Olam HaYeshivas, it's called the Shittas HaRambam. The other is called the Shittas HaRashba. The Rashba is explicit. The Rambam is a beer that Acharonim say that the Rambam may not have said. So, but we're going to call it the Rambam Shitta. It's actually Gadol Echronim, such as the Prima Gadol, today Yeshua, convinced that the Rambam held this way, but in the Rambam itself doesn't say. But we'll call it the Shittas HaRambam. We'll stay as part of the Olam HaTorah. The Rambam has a very, very unique approach about Sveikus in general. You know, as Henry said correctly, we all know, every kid knows, Sveika, D'Araisa, L'chumra. You know what the Rambam says about that rule? The Rambam says, that rule was made up by the Chachamim. That's not a deraisa dika rule. You know what the dimma deraisa is? Min haTorah speak deraisa l'kulur. So if I find a piece of meat on the floor and there is a 50-50 chance it's chaza, I have absolutely no way of knowing. If you would ask my Shabbani, you can eat the meat. The Rambam says, kol ha'sfeikas mutar min. The Torah never asks its fakers. The Torah speaks in Vade languages, for certainty. The Torah doesn't address fakers. What you don't know for certain is not problematic. That's the famous sheet of Aye, but the Mishnayos and the Gemara say it 100 places in Shas, speak the rest of the Chumash, says the Rambam, that's a Chumash mid Rambam. Says the Rambam, when you have a sfeik, if you think about it, the first suffix knocks it down from being a deraisa to being a derabanan, because once you have one suffix, it can never be asa minatara. The absolute worst case scenario could be is asa minatara. Once you introduce a second suffix, you have a suffix whether you have, catch this one, an asa derabanan on your hands. The first suffix knocked it from being deraisa to being derabanan. The second suffix says, wait a second, we're not even sure we have a derabanan on our hands. You're right. Sveika Dabon is Lakula. So there are two principles. The Sveika Deraisa L'chumra, Sveika Dabon Lakula. It's Sveika Deraisa L'chumra is only a Chumra Midrabanan. And therefore the second Safa kicks in and says, Sveika is Mutta Ibn Lachat Chinuch, Sveika Dabon Lakula. So according to the Rambam, it's that two-step process. First you go down to Dabonan, then you go to being Mutter. That's the background for the Kula of Sveika. That's the shit that's around according to the Bir of the Gdal Yechrin. The Rashba could never say such a thing, because the Rashba in Maseches Kedushin, the fourth Maseches Kedushin, disagrees with the Rambam's very premise. The Rashba says, "Sveikas are also minatara. You have a piece of meat on the floor, you're not sure whether it's chaz or not, you're going to tell me you can eat that minatara? That's absurd." It says the Rashba, you can't do that. Sveik the Rais Lachum is the Rais Tikas Svara. Therefore, according to the Rashba, there's no way in the world we can hide a Sveikas. Oh, Sveikas are good, no problem. They're all Sveikas to Rabban Lakul. No, that's not true. So what does the sveik mean according to Rashba? It doesn't mean what the Rambam says it. The Rashba in the Tshuva explains what it means as follows. Let's take this case of Ksubas, the prototype, the classic example of sveik. Let's take the case of Ksubas. There are four boxes. If we're drawing a chart on the board, there are four possible boxes, four different events that could have occurred. She could have either been mezane birotzon after kedushin. Box them would have had a chart I would draw now. She could have been mezane birotzon after kedushin. She could have been mezane birotzon before kedushin. She could have been net and such. She could have been forced after kedushin. She could have been forced before kedushin. Right? Again, whenever you have two factors, say just 2 times 2 is 4. So there are 4 potential outcomes here. Let's do the math now. What would the halacha be in each one of these outcomes? Let's say, for example, she was mezana beratzon after kedushin. If we knew that beracha kodesh, what would we say? She's a sirul lebayla. She's a shizitz. So we have one thing against her. So that's right. One strike against her. One box as an iser, as the word usher in it. Let's go through every box. The first box we just did was after Kedushin Baratzon. What about after Kedushin Ba'ones? What do you think about that? After Kedushin, but it was Ba'ones. Ones is Mutter. Ones doesn't answer. So one check in her favor. Let's say she was Mezana Baratzon, but before Kedushin. What would we say? Another check in her favor. What if she was Nensa before Kedushin? Obviously in her favor. So there are 4 logical outcomes. 3 out of the 4 result in a green light. 1 of them results in a red light. What are the odds that she's a Asura or Muteris? Answer is 75%. There's a 75% chance that she is Muteris. 3 out of the 4 boxes are saying she's Muteris. You know what you call that? When I have 4 possibilities and 3 are saying Muter, 1 saying Asur, give me a word for that, everybody say.
Oh.
For the Rav. Acharam Lahatus.
Question,
yeah, I'm sorry, yeah.
But since you base your first Isur on Ruach HaKodesh.
No, I said if I don't have Ruach HaKodesh. I had Ruach HaKodesh. If.
Okay. Then I don't have to ask.
So the Rashba has this fascinating shot. Whenever we quote this Rashba before in other shiurim, I call this the blackboard rife. I'll tell you why. This rove is not grounded in reality and statistics. Because we have absolutely no way of measuring and knowing. Most women, beratzon, most women onus, most women are kodem kedusha, most women are after kedusha. I don't know. So every possibility here, I just gave an arbitrary number called 50-50. I have no idea. So I don't really have any hard statistics. I don't have any real math on it. All I have are four logical possibilities on the blackboard. So in the lab, I don't really know. In the classroom, I have four possibilities. There are four logical possibilities. If the class was a class in logic, so I would have three out of four. The real world is not always so logical. The real world, there are a lot of strange things. We don't know just in case anybody was wondering that sometimes there's a breakdown between, you know, I have a whole lot, you have a whole shit of Torah, Gevaldik's for him. Just literally just talking to somebody today about this, you know, some COVID-related issue. I said, you know, we've already seen this. The Gemara has it in a different context. The Gemara says that someone was trying to be Madama Milsala Milsa. You know, usually Madama Milsala Milsa in Halacha. If it's true here, then it's true here. So the Gemara tried to be Madama Milsala Milsa to an Indian of Sakana. The Gemara says, Madama Milsala, it's nice. Mechim Bnei Sha'on Madama Nasa Maisa. I mean, it's a good Svara. It may be true, but it may not be true. So you have to be very careful. So this fake Sveika is not grounded in we've done, you know, a laboratory research and we have the numbers and we got the Pfizer results and it's down to 87%, you know, efficient. That's not what we have here. But we have a four potential conceptual outcomes. Comes the Rashba and says, that's also called a Rav. That's a huge Chiddush of the Rashba. Others may disagree. It's a Halakha of Rashba. It's a Chiddush. But that also is subsumed under the category called Rov in Halacha. It's a huge Chiddush. A Rov in the logical possibilities of the plot. A co-partner, how you slice it, Sveik works, and it works with their eyes. So it sounds like the Ramah is back in business. The Ramah is a Sveik. Maybe it's this year's, maybe it's last year's, maybe it's this year's, maybe it's before Shrash, maybe after Shrash. However, there's a big, big problem. And the big problem, as we go back to the Gemara Masechus Kesivos. The Gemara said that Rabbi Elazar told us that he's Neman and she's Asura. And the Gemara questioned, but wait a second, was this fake Sveika? So why is she Asura? The Gemara says, you're right. We have to give you a case where there's no fake Sveika. What's the case where there's no fake Sveika? So the Gemara finally constructs a case six lines into the Gemara. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, five lines, the end of the fifth line, go to Kibo Bo Avua Kedushin Pchusa Vaz Gimushan Yamechot. We're dealing with a scenario with this girl. Now she's over 12, but this girl was ready. It's been a very, very long engagement, long everything. Her father's Makabal Kedushva when she was 2 years old. I mean, that would not be a very nice thing to do, a very foolish thing to do, but theoretically to do it. So she's ready in Eish Ish at the age of, before the age of three. Now, why is that important for us? Because in halacha and in biology, an act of znus that occurred pre the age of three is not going to create Pesach Pesuch. Just that the Metzias HaDvarim is that it's going to be such a meaningless, I mean, obviously quite a repulsive act, but meaningless, it's not going to impact on our Pesach Pesuach, so to speak. And therefore, the Gemara tells us with certainty that if the Kedushin already started before she was three, then the Znus definitely happened after Kedushin. If it happened before Kedushin, wouldn't it be showing up physically right now? So
does she have Das at four?
Wait, hold on. So we just took one suffix and tossed it out the window. Right? Basically, we just threw out a suffix, right? The suffix of maybe before we have the condition is not a suffix anymore. So what's the suffix? Now there's only one suffix. The suffix is, was it the onus or was it baratzon? Right? Now that's a problem. And that's a speak of the Reis L'chumah. So the Gemara says, when Rabbi Loza said, Pesach Batzuch Batzasi is never the Osra love, is Hachem Amayaskin on that wild case that she was Mekudesh is ready from below the age, from before the age of three. So comes Tosus on the spot and says, not true. There's still a Sveik Sveika. What's the Sveik Sveika? Let's take a look at the Tosus on the Tesem and Alfa Ksuvis. The third Tosus, Ibai Seima. Ibai Seima, Be'eshis Yisro, V'yim Toimer. Akatika Sveik Sveika, says Tosus. There's still a Sveik Sveika. Even for the little girl, what's the Sveik Sveika? Safi Bionis, Safi Paratzon. Maybe she was forced. Or maybe it was done willingly. Even if it was done willingly, maybe it happened before she was bas mitzvah. As Henry said, correct, the Pita Ketana Einasi. The Gemara says in Masechus Yevamos, at least tells us things, the Gemara says it, that whenever a little girl under the age of 12 is Mazana, that's always called Einas. She's not a Mazna, she's not responsible for what she's doing. She's a Marnish under 12. So listen to this fake fake. Tosus just turned the new fake fake. The Gemara said, the Gemara worked and worked and worked and finally discovered America. He has the case where there's no fake fake. Says Tosus, there's still a fake fake. Maybe it was, maybe she was forced, maybe it was willingly. Imtum's love was willingly, maybe it was before she turned 12. Despite this fake fake. What's the answer to that, Kasha?
Says Tosus. No, it's Ben Ashmashot.
Says Tosus, we are Shlomo. Shame on his chadu. That's all Tosis. That's all we need for Tosis. What does Tosis say? Shame on his chadu? What does that mean? Shame on his chadu? It's the same suffix. The matir of a woman who was never forced and the matir of a girl, a little 8-year-old who was bizana, quote unquote, baratzon, is the same heter. That's called ba'inis. The Torah says in Pasha Sotra, he on his posa. Which teaches us that if she was forced, if she was attacked, if it was done against her will, without her da, she's muteris. There are two different ways for it to be done against her will. One is she's never physically forced. She's 25 years old and physically forced. The other way is she's 8 years old and does it willingly. That's also called against her will. She's a labas das. She's not responsible for what she's doing. So she's like an einus. Says Tosus, that is it. That is a non-acceptable sfeik sfeika. That's an illegitimate sfeik sfeika. Why? Listen to the sfeik sfeika. Maybe she was forced, and maybe it was willingly. And even if it was willingly, maybe she was a katana. What you're basically saying is, maybe it was beratzon, maybe it was beones, and maybe it was beratzon, and maybe it was beones. You just repeated the same stuff. You invoked a new criteria to define onus and ratzon. But it's the same stuff. In the sfeik sfeika of the Gemara, it's one of the two sfeikas that totally distinct sfeikas. One is a sfeik, onus and ratzon, and what is it? A different kind of suffix. What's the other kind of suffix? Was she an eshizish altogether? Maybe it was before the kedushin, but that suffix not that play out here because it can't be. She's under three. So when you have two distinct sfeikas, each one has its own name, its own category of het there, that's called a sfeik sfeika. But when you have the two sfeikas just chazing over themselves, saying the same thing in different words, maybe onus, maybe ratzon, maybe onus, maybe ratzon, that's called shame. Shema and Ischadu, and that is a non-acceptable Sveik Sveik. It's a famous, famous thesis. It's called the Sveik Sveik of B'Shem Echad. And the Sveik Sveik of B'Shem Echad is known. Rabbi Zay, let's think for a moment about the Ramoth Sveik Sveik. What did the Ramoth say back in Uchas Chodesh? Maybe it's last year's grain, and maybe it's this year's grain. And even if it's alone, it's this year's grain, maybe it had Ashrasha before the Omer. Why is grain that had a shrusha before the Omer Mutter? Why is that true? Because what is it called? If it had a shrusha already, then it's called what? It's called last year's grain. How do you determine whether it's this year's or last year? The answer is, any grain that had a shrusha is last year's grain. Any grain that didn't have a shrusha after the second day basic is called this year's grain. So what you just did was said the following. Maybe it's this year's grade or it's last year's grade. And listen to my second suffix. Maybe it's this year's grade or maybe it's last year's grade. So what kind of space fake is that? That is the ultimate violation of this Taisus principle called space fake of Hashem Echad is Nishkin space fake. This is not my kasher by saying. This is Rabbi Kibbeh's kasher. You take a look back at the Ramah for a second. Back to that Ramah. Back to the Ramah, if you take a look, this is like the print is getting small as it's getting later and later in the hour. The print's getting smaller and smaller. We're all getting older and older. But if you see on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, it has Chedush Rabbi Kibbeh. Right? You take a look, you see it's on the right side of the page, underneath the print of the Taz. You see it says Chedush Rabbi Kibbeh. It's the second piece from Kibbeh. But the Ramah says fake fake is okay. B'tshuvas mutzah me'esh tama. Shame oines chad hu. Who is he quoting? The Tyson Subas. He's saying, that's a terrible fake fake. The Mali Mishana She'avra, Umali Mishana Zu, Kodama Oimer. What's the difference conceptually to the last year's grain and this year's grain pre-Oimer? This year's grain pre-Oimer is last year's grain. So says the Rikivegan, the name of the Chuvus Mutsu Yesh, this makes fake, it doesn't fly. This is a gross, flagrant violation of the Klal Gadol who speaks fake with Shemecha not being a speaks fake. So I feel bad leaving at this point because everyone's going to be hungry. Everyone's going to be afraid to eat that cookie this week because you know, the chutzlar is cooler, we weren't so ay about. The glayim cooler, we weren't so ay about. We're hanging our hats on the speaks fake, and we just realized that every cookie and bowl of cereal that we have is now going against the Tosuk Ksuvos Daf Testament Aleph. You have more work to get up. Yechla and Avizbel, those who want to continue to have your cookies and your cakes and your... You're still okay. You're still hanging in there, but we still got a lot of work to do. We got a lot of work to do in the sugya. And guess what? We didn't even get to the Matthias part. Last week I said we're going to talk about... We're going to quote Michael Kermis, U.S. Department of Agriculture. I thought we were going to talk about planting seasons. And we're going to talk about how to read the codes and boxes of the cereal. We don't need that yet. We have to figure out the turn. It's like a turn mod this year. We have to figure out the turn part for the mod. I'm not sure which comes first at this point. So we still have a little bit more of the turn part. We got a little bit more for this expected to figure out, analyze this remote a little bit more. And then hopefully from next week, we'll try to figure out some of the mod part, some of the Matthias as well. What's really happening on the market and on the boxes of our cereals today. And then try to come up with some kind of a mahalach in the sugya, how it plays out for us. So we still got more work to open with Shem next week. Okay. Henry and